morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on this fabulous Friday. Today we're going to discuss seven keys to finding our purpose and destiny. You know, the Bible gives us a glimpse at what's been planned for us by using Jeremiah as an example. Jeremiah 1:5, Classic Amplified says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." If our loving Heavenly Father had plans for Jeremiah, I promise you, he also had plans for you before you were born. And the second thing we read about is in Jeremiah 29:11. It's graduation time coming up, and this is often what we tell those grads. Jeremiah 29:11, this in the New International Version. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you a hope and a future." God's plans for us are all good. 10 years ago this year, Dr. Miles Monroe died tragically in a private airplane accident. In his life, however, he wrote 54 books. Interestingly enough, one of his most famous quotes was, "The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without a purpose." He wrote on a multitude of topics, but one of his most popular was potential and purpose. He also made this statement, "Your life has the potential to fulfill your purpose. If, however, you imprison that potential, you rob your life of its purpose and fulfillment. You and every other individual on this planet possesses an awesome treasure. Too much of this treasure is buried every day, untapped and untouched in the cemeteries of the world. Much talent, skill, and creativity have been lost to the world for want of a little courage. Many obscure men and women enter eternity pregnant with potential, with a stillborn purpose. Living with ability brings responsibility. Dying with ability reveals irresponsibility." Miles Monroe did not lack courage, nor did he enter eternity without having amazing accomplishments. Harold and I once had an opportunity to hear him speak when he was just a rising star. But another interesting footnote is that just a couple years before he died at age 60, he wrote a book entitled Passing It On. Life is really full of possibilities, and he inspired people all over the world, and his books still do the same today. Most people think that the most successful people are ones who are smart, or their parents had lots of money to send them to school, or they didn't run into a whole lot of negatives growing up. The truth of the matter is the world is full of smart people who are not even using their smarts. And children who were raised with a lot of money are often not very motivated to work for things that they already have. It's often the ones who have had a lack of, well, the good things and a lot more of the negative things growing up. And they look around their circumstances and go, "I refuse to live like this when I grow up." Those are the ones who are motivated to make their lives better. Statistics also show that 20% of the rich inherited their fortune. That leaves 80% who built their fortunes. The enemy will do what he can to confuse and keep people from accomplishing the appointment God has for them. But it ends up that all of us have a choice in the matter. If we put our foot down and say, "I refuse to live in the land of disappointment, discouragement, and depression," we will not end up settling for a comfort zone mentality. So let's look at this realistically. Living in poverty is hard. Making a successful life is hard. Choose your hard. Many Christians, they settle too soon thinking they can't experience the best God has to offer. And let's look at the word disappointment. And if you divide it, it's like this: dis and appointment. Dis means to cut away or to be separated from. But when we put the two words together, the two parts of the word, We see that by choosing to live in disappointment, you've allowed yourself to be cut away and separated from God's appointment for your life. However, his plans require action on our part, and oftentimes it's hard. Yeah, it's hard, and it is filled with disappointments along the way. But the way to become successful is when we remain assured that God is aware of every detour we take. And I promise you this, he is not wringing his hands in heaven, wondering what happened to you. Here are 7 keys to knowing God's plan for your future and the appointment he has for you. First, you must read his word. No matter where you are in life, living the dream or dreaming of a life worth living, direction, encouragement, comfort, peace, strength, and power all come from the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Skipping down to verse 4, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If we are daily in the Word, seeking God, then we will remain connected to Jesus, and he will remain connected to us. That's what the scripture says. And we will begin to bear fruit. Reading the word will provide us with inside information about the plans and the appointment God has made for us. Ephesians 3 verse 4 says, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. I know that one of the most popular things in church, well, the church tries to do, is get people to read their Bible. So they encourage them to read the Bible through in a year. I totally understand that the church's desire is to get people in the Bible. But our success isn't about how much Bible we read. It's about how much Bible we know. And that requires more than just reading through a lot of scriptures. Oftentimes, it means allowing the Holy Spirit to stop us when we need to look into something deeper. If you're thinking, well, I'm just not sure where to start reading, we suggest that you read a proverb a day, but don't hurry through it, especially if you find something that catches your attention. The Holy Spirit may be trying to tell you something that you need that will help you. In James 1:5, Amplified Bible says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given him. One way to understand a verse better is to read it in several translations. It gives you another perspective. If you need to look up a word meaning in the Hebrew or the Greek, look it up, or a commentary to talk about that scripture. And that actually brings us to the second key. The second key is understand the scripture you're reading. In James 1:19 in the Amplified Bible, it says, understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. It appears significant, really, that James 1:19 begins with the word understand before he tells us to become ready listeners. God wants us to read the word. He wants us to hear the word, but he also wants us to understand what it is we've read. In 8 different scriptures, we are admonished to hear and understand. God does not want us ignorant. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, Amplified Bible, it says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. King James Version says, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us ignorant of anything in his word or his promises, allow us to have a life worth living. God wants us to hear and understand the fullness of his word. And reading the word isn't enough. We must also understand what it is that we've read. That brings us to 3rd key. analyze the scriptures. As we read the word, continuing in it daily, our understanding is going to grow. And with this growth will come spiritual discoveries and revelatory insight like you've never experienced before. That's why it's important to mark scripture, make notes in the margin. I generally use a pencil because I might get further enlightenment I want to write in there. And keep a journal close by so you can expand on things that are relevant to you right now. Date them so that you can keep track of your growth. Make notes on how it's relevant to what's happening to you right now in the present. And I like to pray Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17 and part of 18. I'm going to quote. In Ephesians 1:17, it says, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Make that personal. I'm not going to just put people in today, but I'm going to say, Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give me the spirit of revelation so that I may know Jesus better. I pray that you'll open the eyes of my heart, that they might be enlightened in order that I might know the hope to which you have called me. Make it personal. Ask him when you're reading the scripture. And then here are four questions to ask yourself when you're reading the scripture. Number one, what does this verse say? Number two, what does this verse mean? Number three, what does the verse have to do with me? And four, how can I apply this new understanding to my life? Hosea 14:9, New Living Translation says, let those who are wise understand these things, that those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners will stumble and fall. You know what? We're not going to finish this today. But we have tomorrow. We have a sensational Saturday. I hope you have a fabulous Friday. I hope you're enjoying this. And please join me again tomorrow for more rich thoughts on this subject. And until then, have a wonderful day and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we praise the Lord for you. Bye-bye.